Hello and welcome back to Serie A Spotlight. We're your hosts Jake
and Matt.
You know what time it is!
I can't tell you guys enough how much you've been my internal monologue when thinking about football for the last year.
Yes, amazing!
We get to record while drinking some wine.
Jake and I will have a very special soft spot for Salerno.
We love him.
We love him.
Stop zooming in on Allegri's face, boy. You're gonna make
How
me
are you
break.
Exposing me?
Because you're gonna make me break. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Serie A Spotlight. This is episode 135 and we're your hosts Matt
and Jake.
And today we've got a prediction episode, shooting ourselves in the foot a little bit, bro.
Because we're a week early.
I think we're doing it even 2 weeks early, to be honest.
But you know, man, we have to give the people what they want. Bro.
And I can't fucking wait. Yeah. I can't wait for the season to start, so I had to do this today and next week, instead of, these are predictions, we're going to be talking about match day one. What's going to happen in match day one? Giving you some predictions over there. Just one step
some
ahead.
Some players to watch, some matchups to keep an eye out for, and these are... We don't usually preview games, but match day one gives us the perfect opportunity. We prefer to recap games.
That was something I remember that really weirded me out, where I'm like, we're just always talking about games that have already taken place. Like, it would be cool to preview a few more games.
The problem is time, right? It takes us 2 hours to preview, to review every single game.
The final product is 2 hours. Yeah. The actual process is like three
longer.
To four.
Yes.
Of course.
But whatever. We've got a new patron, guys. Thank you very much to Dequan Grishti.
So our audio got taken down in the last one.
Yes, so you can see us dancing in awkward silence. And if you do want to see us dancing in awkward silence, just go to the intro of the last episode on YouTube and hit subscribe while you're there, guys. We're almost at 200, which is nothing compared to here on Spotify, but it's something.
We were late.
Fuck it. Slow and steady, bro.
Exactly. I mean, if you guys aren't driving, just flick on some video while you're at it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Even if you're driving.
Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe like on the subway, it would be good to like download the video so you've got something to watch, something a little bit engaging. But yes, sorry, Dequan, we're stealing the spotlight here.
Yes, welcome aboard. Welcome to the family. He likes the way that we're so knowledgeable about the sport and the league. And he likes that we back up our stuff with stats as well, which is something
Legend.
That we give a lot of priority to.
A Spurs fan, I now know three.
Yes.
Spurs fans. I'm going to shout
three?
Them all out.
That's crazy.
Dequan Grishti.
Okay.
Ian Zarafa used to go to school with
yes.
us.
Shout out,
Ian. Love you. He got me into anime, which is weird. and Mr. Ruben Teeling.
Mr. Ruben Teeling.
Shout out. Ruben.
He was our Maltese teacher?
No, come on.
Religion?
Religion and history.
Yes.
He lost so much weight. I saw him at Starbucks recently. Not typically a sentence that goes together. He lost so much weight. He's at Starbucks. but yes, he did. He's looking great.
Absolutely. This is our last call for our Fantasy Football League, actually. If you would like to take part in our Fantasy Football League, you would need to become a patron and support the show. To become a patron, the link is in our bio, or you can just look up Serie A Spotlight Patron. We're not very active on it, but you will be added to a WhatsApp group chat, which we are in, and
we speak every day.
Yeah, we speak every single day. Yeah, the Patron app isn't actually active because, like, who uses that?
Who uses the Patron app?
And this is going to be fun. So far, we have about 14 members in the league. It's going to be it's going to be a good one, I think, this season. Absolutely,
it is.
It's not draft, so you can have the same players, so it's literally a game of knowledge at this point.
Yeah, it's like FPL. That's how FPL is. I enjoy the draft a lot. I like negotiating
this is
different. It's really
absolutely
good.
The winner of our Serie A Fantasy Football League will win a kit. And if it's complicated and we can't send you the delivery, we'll just send you the money. Like,
exactly. We'll send you 100 smackaroonies.
Exactly, 100 smackaroonies. Go get yourself a Sampdoria kit.
Once again, I am the champion. And guess what? What? I am the champion and I got no kit, obviously. Technically, you should have paid for 100% of one of my kits, but you know what? I'm going to cross it off from season one, because according to season one, I owe you two or three kits. Yes, I think I owe you two kits.
Yes, you do. You did, rather.
Because, I did. But now we crossed one off. I'm just going to keep working until I cross all of them off.
Yes, I'm just quickly going to shout out all the patrons once I find them.
Man, your iPad works in the same way as your brain. You've got them in so many different windows, just all working at the same time.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, I'm just going to ask you guys that if you do enjoy our content, naturally, like Jake said, becoming a patron is cool. It really helps us grow the show. We're investing in a camera now. We've invested heavily into the studio and into the microphones and all equipment. Next up is a camera, which is quite hefty in cost. We've been saving up the Patreon money. So obviously, the more the merrier in that case. If you guys don't have that luxury, we'd appreciate a subscription on YouTube. And if you hit us up on Spotify as well, give us a 5-star rating over there. That would be great. Or an Apple Podcast, wherever you guys are listening. That would be excellent. Jake is still looking for the list of patrons.
Don't worry, I have it. It's just I don't have the full name that Choco Loco wants us to refer to him at. That's all I'm looking for. Like, but fuck it, we'll leave that to next week. Don't worry, our boy Choco. So yes, shout out to Alan, Andrew, Andy, Anthony, Tim, Campbell, Slooge McNoodle, Lena, David, Kyle, Luca, Matthias, Mint, Michael, Tonna, Ed, Theo, Joey D, Choco Loco, and our most recent one.
Who the fuck is Slooge McNoodle,
bro? We don't know, but yes, hashtag Slooge. Who is Slooge McNoodle? Hashtag free the Slooge. Hashtag unleash the Slooge.
I'm going to ask for money one more time, bro. Okay. Because obviously we ask for people to support the show. Yeah. We're also now, guys, looking for sponsors. So if you guys have a brand and you're willing to just pay a little bit of money naturally to have you guys shouted out on our podcast, supported by Serie A Spotlight, endorsed by Serie A Spotlight, obviously we'll be quite selective with the brands that we of course accept to enter our show. But if you have a brand, your family has a brand, a friend has a brand that you think would be a good fit for our show, then we will consider obviously getting you guys on board.
Absolutely, reach out, guys.
Yeah, we obviously this is something we've discussed a lot before, and we really didn't like the idea of putting ads on this show to keep it as clean as possible for you guys. But if it is actually a product that we endorse, then we'd be more than happy to
be happy.
So.
Yeah, and it could actually help us out. Like if it's a betting platform, for example, that offers, for example, special bets, we can actually discuss them and say what we think about them and what we would do, and actually kind of give some advice on the matter, while also highlighting how important it is to gamble responsibly.
Exactly.
But yes, enough of the faff. Let's get straight into it, bro.
How are we gonna do this? Firstly, I'm looking you dead in the eyes
because my predictions are right there. Yes, I've removed
them. I'm trying not to look at them. But I saw a spoiler.
Okay.
How shall we do this? Let's start off by each saying our champion, who we think the champion of the Serie A 2024-2025 campaign is going to be. 3, 2, 1, Inter. Fuck. Yes,
that's terrible. The thing is that...
Okay,
the
why?
Last, So Inter are one of the only teams that have maintained the same squad, relatively, and the same manager. Last season, if it weren't for the mighty, mighty, mighty Sassuolo, they would have gone unbeaten in the league. They looked out of this world, and I do think that consistency is key, and I can't see them slipping up.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed reactionary for me to put anyone else instead of them.
Yeah, it seems like in their project so far, from season to season under Simone Inzaghi, they've seemed to get stronger. It's the first time they haven't lost a star name or a key figure in the team from season to season. So that is a massive plus for them that they've maintained the same squad. And also, look what's happening around them. There's all that reshuffling, which is, of course, very healthy for some teams. So you look at Juventus, for example, who are going through a fantastic exercise of removing these players that are taking up a lot of the wage bill and aren't performing on the pitch. It's a great exercise. However, all that change is naturally going to slow, as the first season might not be the same product that you'd have in the second season, third season. It might be a bit of a slower start.
Yes.
So with all that unsettledness, let's call it that, around the rest of the Seven Sisters, Inter are the only ones that are super, super settled with minimal change. And then they've brought in someone like Zielinski, who's really going under the radar. Yes, they've brought in Mehdi Taremi,
who's really impressed, apparently. I think he might have taken a knock, but he was really impressive, apparently, in training when he arrived.
It's fine. He'll be back for the Milan game and he'll score against Milan, of course, because he was one of the players that chose Inter over Milan. Yeah. So,
I didn't want to put Inter there, but I do think that they'll go back-to-back for the first time since, by the way, 2020.
Yes,
Juve were the last team to win it back-to-back, and not only did they do it back-to-back, they did it back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
Exactly.
So, ever since the Juve days, we've had a different winner every season, and hopefully it can be the case again this season.
Yeah, hope so. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed it's not Inter, obviously.
So yes, I think now we should go to second place, perhaps, or should we go second, third, fourth?
Let's go second, third, fourth. Okay. You start.
So I've got Inter winning the league, Napoli coming in second, Milan in third, and Juventus in fourth.
So close. Okay. So close. I have Napoli in second, Juve in third, and Milan in fourth. Obviously, this isn't what I hope would happen. It's not even what... I've been changing the order of the entire table since 15 minutes ago when I went to the bathroom. Like, bro. Firstly, news is still breaking out. There's the rumor of Retegui now off to Atalanta, which makes a key difference. There are some players on Milan's radar that still haven't gone through, which would make a massive difference. On Juve's Emerson Royal.
And Tammy Abraham, Coop Miners for Juventus. Exactly. What's going to happen
Fofana
there?
For Milan. Yeah. Fofana. Now they get Fofana, Milan.
I don't know. I feel like it's stalled for a bit too long. Milan don't get these deals over
I said this
nowadays.
Four episodes ago, bro. Yeah, Milan aren't going to get him. Okay, but Napoli second. That's obviously going to shock some people, considering they came 10th last season.
So Napoli, if I'm not mistaken, have the only manager apart from Inzaghi who's actually won the league before. And yes, that's actually true. I think Napoli, I can't imagine Napoli coming and not getting top four. So if I had the guarantee, it's that Napoli gets top four. That's what I put my money on, like. Do I think they'll win it in their first season immediately? Perhaps, but it's difficult to see them displacing Inter. Inter are still logically to me the favorites.
Yeah.
But Napoli, I do think that he's going to go there. Conte, they're playing once a week and he's just going to get that machine going. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Osimhen is still on the team, we might see him.
But he won't be.
I don't think he will be. Well, he's still there. And if not, they might bring in Lukaku, for example, who worked really well under Conte. We saw the best version of Lukaku underneath Conte. I think Napoli will come second. You put?
I put Napoli as well.
What's your logic?
So I think that Napoli's main concern last season was their defense, right? I think they struggled a lot since they let go of Kim and they didn't replace him. They finally have replaced him, and they've replaced him with a certain Buongiorno. Buongiorno, who has been one of my favorite center backs for the past three seasons. A fantastic. I'm really not liking the color
bro,
of this
water.
Bro,
that's rank. So I told Matthew, I forgot to bring glasses. Bro, he's like, no problem, bro. We'll just use our mugs. I've just poured some water into our coffee mug and it's bloody yellow, obviously.
The color of piss.
That's
mine's
horrible.
Fine.
Yes.
Mine's fine. Whatever. But apart from that, also systematically, they're shifting to be a more defensive team with Conte's 3-5-2, which is very, very different to Simone Inzaghi's 3-5-2. It's a very, very pragmatic approach. They've also only got the 1/2 with Coppa Italia competitions that they'll be participating in. And if we see the last time that Conte won the league with Inter, he came last in the group stages of the Champions League, probably to focus more on Serie A. So I think Conte found himself a team that two seasons ago, almost the exact same 11, won the league in a devastating manner. They blew everyone else out of the water. So he has the ingredients. And also, it does seem like he is going to be getting the players that he wants. De Laurentiis is like, finally, I've got a champion, so I'm going to support this guy. I'm going to put the funds forward.
That's the main difference between this season and last season.
Exactly.
You won't have De Laurentiis sniffling around, in theory, because I can see some tension building up if Napoli get off to a bad start. For example, Adrian will start sticking his foot in, start trying to get kind of involved, passing these comments that Conte is not going to let slide. But I do think with a good start and a little bit of belief and, you know, that stadium, If the fans are on your side in the Maradona, you've got yourself a theatre, man.
Yeah.
It's a bloody... It's an arena, like, you know, it's crazy. Like,
it's the Colosseum, man.
Exactly.
I wouldn't say safely that Napoli are going to come second, because I do see things going wrong for them. I've pointed out before that perhaps a pragmatic approach isn't the way the most successful teams in the world are playing football at the moment. It's actually the latter. It's a balanced game or a more offensive game that seems to get success nowadays. But Conte can give you a very stable 11.
Yeah.
A team that can keep a clean sheet and a team that can hit you on the break. And Napoli certainly have the players that can hit you on the break. It looks like it's going to be a successful season for them. They're definitely not finishing in 10th place again. That is a guarantee. Now have Juve, I have Juve in third, I have Milan in fourth, you have Milan in third, and you have Juve in fourth. Let's discuss a bit, why are those slots different?
So, I've just really liked what I've seen from Milan, man.
I really have as well.
I like it a lot. I know it's just pre-season, but watching Milan playing against the likes of Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Manchester City, and watching Pep Guardiola losing his mind, frustrated on the sidelines, just shouting and screaming at his players because Milan in certain moments were too good for them, quite simply. Now, granted, it wasn't City's strongest 11.
It wasn't Milan's strongest
exactly,
11 either.
That's it. That's what people don't mention. And yeah, it's a very good sign in my opinion. I've liked Fonseca's, I like his demeanor, I like the way he's spoken so far. I like the fact that Milan haven't lost any major players at this point. Granted, okay, Giroud is gone, but he was replaced with a European champion now, right? And Alvaro Morata, they're moving smart in the market. I like the Pavlovic signing. I don't think that they'll challenge for the entirety of the season, Milan. I think maybe towards the end they'll slip up a little bit. But I do, especially when competing on all fronts. But I do think that they are a top three team in Italy this season, because again, they've got, I don't know, man, the foundation is there. You know, it's there's an element of consistency to it. And the system, it suits the players that Milan have very well, bar maybe that Leao coming inside thing that we discussed in earlier episodes.
But they can also improve there.
I like the fact that he wants to hold the ball, dominate possession. The players Milan have, I think, are well suited for that.
He also doesn't seem erratic at all, eh? Like, when there were talks of Emerson Royal, which unfortunately have come back up because of the Florenzi injury, but he said, you know what? I've seen Pierre. I've seen what Pierre Kalulu has been doing. We don't need...
But he's gone back on that, huh?
But because of Florenzi's injury.
Ah, potentially, actually, it's true. Because he's been playing Kalulu as a centre-back now in the friendlies again.
I mean, Kalulu's
poor Kalulu, man.
He's a versatile
An existential
defender.
Crisis in his career right and now. He's like, what am I?
And now as well, with the whole Jonathan David link, he's like, you're telling me about this Jonathan David guy. I'm looking at Jonathan David's profile. I'm looking at Noah Okafor's profile. Tell me why I should go for Jonathan David.
That's sick. That's
so really... I like the fact that he's coming to our team, bro. Our team. And he's seeing man for man what strengths are on the table. He's recognizing individuals in the team. That's only going to create unity. He's giving attention to players like Chukwueze, who had a slow start to the season last year, but he believes in him. And tactically, I do think he's a good fit for Milan. I think when Milan played their better football last season, it was that dominant gameplay. It was the late runs into the box of Loftus-Cheek. And I like how he's experimenting as well. Most recently, we saw Chukwueze starting out wide and Pulisic in the middle, which fans were screaming for it. Pioli only did it twice in the latter stages of the season when Chukwueze started to become better. We saw it against Barcelona now. So I'm getting these really good signs from Milan. The reason I think that Juve might just be a little step ahead of Milan is because I feel like the Douglas Luiz signing, they've got themselves a world-class metronome over there. They've got themselves a world-class versatile midfielder, and I don't think Milan have a world-class midfielder. I think if you look at their striker, Vlahovic, finally with an attacking game plan, well, a balanced game plan, but more to the offensive side, he could finally start scoring goals, Vlahovic. And I think after 5-6 games, when Motta figures out how he's going to use him, is he going to use him like Xerxes? Is he going to use him as a target man? Once he figures that out completely, he can really, really get going. There's a clear identity in mind for Motta. And I think individually he has a good set of players to do it with.
Relatively new as a manager, Motta. Granted, he's been through the ringer, you know, Spezia, Bologna, and now Juve. I think my logic over here was that I know less about the Juve system as it stands. There have been more changes in Juve.
Yes, absolutely.
The starting 11, the coach, everything, you know, is different when it comes to Juve.
Such a positive change, though.
That I wouldn't be as surprised if things don't work out as well than I would for Milan, you know.
But yeah, I see you and I agree with you. The only thing is, imagine you've got a tiger, bro. You have a fucking a wild tiger, and the wild tiger has been running with a chain and a fucking huge metal ball attached to it, a huge weight, and finally that's being chopped off. That thing that has been chopped off was Massimiliano Allegri. So finally, the system is going to completely change. And players, what does Motta do? He plays players to their strengths. He figures out what's your strength and he plays to them. Whilst Allegri is like, ah, you're a goal scorer. You're not a goal scorer. You're a centre mid. No, you're a left midfielder. Ah, you're a left. No, you're a centre back. That's what Allegri used to do. And it's frustrated a lot of players.
Yes.
Now they're free, dog. They're free.
However, there have been moments, or there were moments last season, where it seemed to be more than a coaching issue, where the players just weren't playing well. Now, it could be simply because they weren't happy with the instructions they were given, or the environment, or whatever.
Even the fans had a divide.
I don't know. I think that Allegri, to be honest, we've discussed this again. If he weren't there for that first half of the season, Juve would have done much worse than they did overall.
That's
Juve
true.
Pushed for, they were title contenders for half the season last
until
year.
Until they got fucked by Inter.
And Allegri, what he gives them is he instills a sense of street smartness, you know, street smarts in his players. He knows how to get the job done. Even if it's ugly, even if it's 1-0, even if it's boring.
Motta, but isn't he that 70-year-old hotel manager?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Motta showed my way. that he can do that, because Bologna conceded very little last season. The thing is, I don't know if it will translate at this level, you know, because they were playing technically Bologna with less pressure than there's going to be at Juve, because Juve are expected to win. Every moment, every minute Bologna had in the top four, everyone was impressed, everyone was happy.
Yes, as
every moment that Motta has outside of the top four now, panic, stress, anxiety.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of pressure on Motta, there's a lot of pressure on the players. There's unrest in the dressing room with this whole Chiesa thing. Chiesa posting on Instagram, Bianconeri, come on, like with the white and black emoji and a picture of him in the kit. And then you go to the Juve store and there aren't any Chiesa kits for sale. And in Motta's press conferences, he's literally saying that he's not part of the plans and he's for sale. There's a little bit of unrest. There are these doubts.
Now, how much would your prediction change if tomorrow Juve signed Cope Miners?
So I put Juve there thinking that
Cope Miners,
assuming that Cope Miners is a done deal. Okay. Assuming. Now I know it's not the case yet at all. Yes.
Well, it's a small detail. No, third and fourth.
Exactly.
Shall we move on to the European spots?
This was my...
Fifth, sixth and seventh.
Yes, this was my dilemma between fourth and fifth. Massive dilemma.
Yes.
It was. And I've put... So we're going to list them all. Fifth, sixth, seventh.
Let's go fifth, sixth, seventh.
So fifth for me is Roma. Sixth is Atalanta. Seven is Fiorentina.
Oh my god.
The same?
Yes, exactly the same, bro.
Incredible.
Exactly the same.
It's difficult.
The Roma one
there
was tough.
Yes.
Roma can make top four.
I think it's
very attainable. I saw some people saying that Roma are title contenders. I've also seen people say Roma were title contenders 2 seasons ago, and I've seen people say Roma are title contenders 3 seasons ago. I don't think Roma are title contenders. I think they have a much better chance of getting top four this season than last season.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they finally have a manager that suits the team a little bit more, who has had half a season with them, did well, however, showed that the squad was limited when competing in several different competitions. And also, there have been smart signings that were made. I feel like there were depth signings. I feel like there was the striker, Dobvik, that they signed is a perfect fit for that Roma team.
I don't know how they landed him so easily,
from
to
today to tomorrow, yeah, bro. Yeah, yeah. It's like, striker, Dobvik.
And like Girona had this release clause implemented into his contract before he had his breakout season. So he had that breakout season, he had this release clause, and somehow Roma managed to land him.
Atleti wanted him. Yes. And he disagreed with something. I think this was as much as they gave us. He disagreed with something in the vision Atletico had for him within their system. And then he looked over at Roma, what Roma were offering, and he agreed with what they were offering him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. He agreed with the vision a bit more.
Oh, and it's just an attractive offer. You're playing at the Olympico. It's a nice project. You've got the Rossi as the coach.
The new stadium.
The new stadium.
Is coming up.
But that's I think it'll be 2027, 2028.
Something
but
in the far future.
Probably,
just worth
probably
mentioning.
Probably more. Way further. That was just a guess. Yes, Roma, I think, have really improved. And they've shown that they mean business. I think they get fifth. Wouldn't be surprised if they finish higher.
Yeah. Also, I saw a photo of Paredes, Sule, Dybala. When you have, now you're going to tell me what, you're thinking of chemistry on FIFA Ultimate Team, like when you're building a draft or whatever, go fuck yourself. I think when you have players that are around each other all season round with the international team and with their domestic team, I think the bond between these players could be very strong. That can only give a positive impact on the team. You got Paredes, Dybala, and who did I say? Paredes, Dybala,
Sule,
yeah, right? At the end of the day, there, you know, I don't know if Sule was called up for the Copa America and for the World Cup and for the World Cup.
The World
it
Cup,
probably
no,
wasn't.
But the Copa America.
But these guys are around each other, and they're world champions, you know what I mean? Paredes is a serial winner, Dybala is a serial winner, Sule is a future superstar, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's just a good sign.
Absolutely, yes. And things do look promising at Roma. But I've put them as far as fifth for now. I didn't have the balls to put them higher.
They still have something to sort out, man, to me. So Dybala is a right-sided player. Maybe at a 2 up top with Dobvik, question mark. So there's a right-sided player as well. Is one of them going to play out of position on the left? Or even though Dybala is versatile and Sule is versatile as well, is one of them going to play out on the left? Or is El Shaarawy still going to be playing on the left?
That's a great question. I think with De Rossi's system, I wouldn't be surprised if you just saw a situation where it's fluid, everyone's moving, you know, Sule on the right, Dybala on the left, Dybala on the right, Sule on the left, like just changing. I wouldn't be surprised as well if for certain matchups it deploy Dybala as a false nine, pop Pellegrini on the left, and then Dybala on the right. You know, he's got options. Now, De Rossi actually has a team he can play around with.
Yeah.
It's not limited. It's not like, all right, Lukaku striker every game, you know what I mean? He's got options.
Yeah.
And that's a breath of fresh air for Roma.
Uh-huh. So you think Roma would finish higher, just like me, to Atalanta and Fiorentina. Now, before we discuss Fiorentina, Atalanta last season towards the latter stages, obviously Atalanta have gotten Champions League by finishing fourth last season. And they also won the Conference League. Why do we have them out of the top four this year?
So,
it's a great question,
That's a great question. I personally base my opinion of the fact that they might lose Coop Miners, who I hold in very high regard in this team.
Absolutely.
I think he goes above and beyond what Atalanta, how Atalanta operate. Like. Mm-hmm. So losing him would be massive. And Scamacca has just done his entire knee, basically ACL, mm-hmm. meniscus, everything. And they're going to have to go in for, not they have, they're going to have to go in. They've just bought, literally right now, a few minutes ago, it's been announced that it's been made official, Retegui.
Yeah.
Nice cool. player, nice cool player, signing. cool signing. I think he'll score. Top, I think he'll score a lot for them.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's not nice, eh? It wasn't their plan.
No.
It wasn't their plan. And yes, I do think that when it comes to just how the other teams are strengthening, Atalanta right now don't seem as they can be as consistent as the others. Uh-huh. And they've had consistency issues in the league, Atalanta. You
yes,
know?
Absolutely.
They're better in knockout tournaments, I feel.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
I think that great sign for them is keeping Gasperini, because mm-hmm. he was tempted by the Napoli move. Let's not forget that. So that was huge for them. They made some good signings. They did. They bought Ben Godfrey, for example. That was a good signing for them. Made a signing like Zaniolo, which is like, sure, they have the opportunity. Gasp has the opportunity to get him back to where he was or improve him. But also we thought that about Jeremy Boga when he was signed a bit out and being played out of position, or they tried to change the system to accommodate him so that they have some pace on the flanks. Then they ended up playing Pasalic as a winger, and it was just like... So I wasn't completely... Now, real G's move in silence like lasagna, right? My point is that sometimes the ones that make the least noise are the ones that are cooking, are the ones that are working up something cool. Really? And they have great continuity. They haven't lost many players. Obviously, Scamacca, devastating injury. They haven't lost Cope Miners yet. Let's all get it twisted. Mm-hmm. He's still there right now. They'll obviously sign him 5 minutes after this podcast is released. That's it, 400 listens. I don't think they get further than Roma.
Their consistency.
Exactly.
That's what puts me off more than anything else.
Scalvini has an ACL injury.
Exactly.
As
and
well.
Now Godfrey, he's going, it's true, he's a capable defender,
mm-hmm.
but he's going to have to learn
everything. Exactly.
He's going to have to learn an entire new system, and that system has seen players really struggle to adapt. It has seen players thrive, but especially in their second season, though.
Yeah.
Not from the get-go.
Yeah.
Bakker, for example, last season.
Bakker.
Yeah.
His own player think he's a tennis player, man.
I watched a bloody YouTube video. This challenge, they get these, they scout amateur football players, and they take them to a pitch to play against an anonymous Atalanta defender, and it was Bakker.
Oh my god.
And bro.
Of course, because he's not called up for preseason, probably.
No one even got a sniff, bro. They're on another level. Professionals.
As in no one got a sniff. Okay,
no,
I got
sniff,
you. Like,
bro,
he was
no one got a sniff. He was.
Oh shit, eh?
Even at one point, he had to take on one of them. It was just five touches and it was in the back of the net. You know, these players
shit,
are completely
no
different.
Shit.
These pros, man, are incredible.
Okay, so we have Roma. Sorry, we have Fiorentina back in Europe. Fiorentina back in Europe under Paladino. Is it going to be a three at the back?
This
is
my craziest
four at the
one.
Back?
This is my craziest.
This is your craziest
my
one?
Craziest prediction, I think. Because
it's really not that crazy. I did the same thing and I didn't think it was crazy.
It's the fact that, again, we don't know. There are a lot of unknowns,
true,
right?
True,
uncertainties. Many new players. Moise Kean is their striker who had a dreadful season last season. You know, they might get Goodmanson, which would be nice. They're bringing Colpani in from Monza, who kind of shows in flashes. We don't know how he'll adapt. We don't know how Paladino will adapt to the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Paladino and Colpani, bit of a match made in heaven over them. Lots, with Monza.
I love the Goodmanson idea for Fiorentina.
Yes.
I don't know if Atalanta... I don't know with... Retegui going to Atalanta if Genoa will still let go of Goodmanson, because technically you get rid of Retegui, you've got Vitinha, you've got a backup,
and
he did well when he wasn't injured,
or vice versa, if you let go of Goodmanson you've got Vitinha, but
exactly.
You don't want to lose
both.
Two of them
exactly.
Now it depends, because I don't know what Genoa's vision is. Do Genoa want to push to be a top team, or do they want to be a feeder club that get by in Serie A and keep the financials going? Because that could very much be the case, but that's not the vibe I get. When Gilardino decided to stay on, I doubt Gilardino, who probably had ample offers from Fiorentina, so on and so forth, said, yep, I'm going to stay here, and yeah, they want to remove everyone, fuck it, they'll remove everyone. He wouldn't stay there if that was their vision, to be a feeder club. So I don't think they're going to let both of them go, Genoa.
Uh-huh.
But Goodmanson at Fiorentina would be something, huh?
It would be very good. And I love the way Palladino kind of allows this element, this splash, this dollop of creative expression.
Mayonnaise.
Of creative expression. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having Colpani and Goodmanson playing behind Keane, who's also very technical. Again, sounds really fluid, man. Sounds exciting. Yes. New environment for Palladino. This is only going to be his second gig in charge of a football team. Yes, I think that it might go well.
I think it'll be positive.
I think yes. I have a feeling. This one's about a feeling.
Yes, and I think they're not going to struggle to get the ball in the box because Italiano frustrated me so much at Fiorentina for as long as he's been there because they couldn't score. They couldn't score goals with him.
Yes.
Shall we go 8th to 10th?
Let's do that.
I'll start.
Sure.
Bologna, Lazio, Genoa.
Oof. They're so similar, bro. I've got Lazio, Bologna, Torino.
Okay. Let's start.
In 8th, you have?
Bologna.
Okay, let's talk about Bologna. Let's talk
Bologna-Lazio.
Okay.
Let's talk Bologna-Lazio. So I put Lazio below Bologna because Bologna, okay, they lost 3 players. They lost Salamakers, devastating. They lost Calafiori, devastating, and they lost Zirkzee, devastating. They've got Freuler, they've got Ferguson, who will be back in, let's say, January, February, for example. They still got Orsolini, and they've got a new manager in Italiano, who has a lot of experience juggling competitions like European competitions and Serie A competitions. And I just don't want to disrespect Bologna. I don't want to sleep on them, because I still think they've got a fantastic team. And they've got a manager who has his own style, who's got his own vision. And I think he fits the team pretty well.
That was my logic entirely. When it came to putting them, I know I put them in 9th, like, but but I thought the same thing. I thought, okay, they lost 3 key players, but they're bringing in a manager who's seasoned nowadays. Mm-hmm. Italiano knows how to get things done. He's been qualifying for Europe and advancing in Europe for quite a while. However, I do like how solid. I like the foundation of Lazio. I like the way they look nowadays. I like the players they've brought in.
You like them because you're a hipster, bro.
Maybe.
You like them because you recognize these players and you know they're talented.
They're talented, yes. And I think they moved intelligently, to be honest. They went for the relegated team's best players. They scouted the talent. You know, they brought in Noslin, they brought in Chachua.
Relegation manager and relegation players.
However, the relegation manager is a massive reason Hellas Verona survived, and he worked miracles and he had them looking very solid. Yes. So I would imagine that Lazio, with a solid defense and then these kind of flair players advancing, I don't know. I thought that they might finish ahead of Bologna. I thought once again that it could go worse for Bologna if that Italiano thing happens, where, you know, Dallingers can't get the ball.
I don't think Lazio are going to be devastatingly shit, but I think we're going to see a massive drop in how they're playing. Bro, we saw what happened when obviously Immobile wasn't up to scratch and when SMS left. And now the third key piece is off as well. Luis Alberto, the only guy that was holding that fucking team together. Him and Zaccagni were the only ones keeping that team together. They brought in a manager who, okay, I'm not going to underrate Baroni. Baroni was one of the coaches of the season last season. Miracle worker. He's great. Tactically sound. Motivator. Wins the dressing room. He's good. I like him. I rate him highly. But if you get Hellas Verona's manager, you get Salernitana's best player, you get Hellas Verona's best player, you get a couple of these guys, and they're not going to push for Europe, bro. They're going to be fighting to be top 10, I think. I don't see Tati Castellanos up front, and Philip Anderson's gone as well.
Tati can have a breakout season.
He can have a breakout season.
I like him as a support striker with Noslin and Chachuana.
I think Chuana.
I like the sound of that, because we've always said here that Castellanos is more of a utility striker. So having those players, and plus, let's not forget Zaccagni, though, as well.
Zaccagni, but
basically, my logic, because we can talk about individuals all day, it's Lazio with Baroni will have a better defensive setup than Bologna. I think Bologna will concede more. I think Bologna will spend a lot of time doing that whole Italiano ball where they're playing the ball, trying to fucking find a gap and get hit on the
counter.
Bologna,
eh?
Yes, Bologna.
I don't know if you said Bologna or Genoa. Yes, oh, yeah, Bologna.
I feel like they're more like susceptible to counter attacks, for example. I think Lazio, Baroni's going to go and he's going to make them a bit of a tight unit, you know?
They'll certainly be a tighter unit. But again, I think if there's so much change happening to a team and all of the players that are brought in are, let's call them, subpar or above average, I don't think there's anything competitive over there. Now, again, it's a small...
But they're young. They're young.
They are young, but I think this season they'll struggle. I think Chachuna. I think it's Chuana.
It's Chuana.
I think Chuana can be good. I think Noslin can be good. Noslin's a sweetheart, by the way.
Noslin is so sweet, cute. Bro. You saw him signing those bloody kits.
I did.
He's so sweet. Thank you. Thank you so much.
He's like such a no, really, guy.
Oh, really? Thank you. You're a phenomenon.
Oh my god, me?
Him and Suzuki, the two sweetest players in the
Suzuki
league.
Suzuki is incredibly gentle as well.
Yes.
They must hang out a lot. So that's my prediction for Lazio. I think Bologna would have a better season than them, I'm being honest.
Okay. This is still 8th and 9th. I would have a fine margin.
And then I have Genoa. We spoke about Genoa a little bit. I'll tell you something soon. Genoa, I feel like continuity from last season. I think last season Genoa impressed everyone. Mm-hmm. I think as a newly promoted team last year, what they did was amazing. The players they have, let's mention Gudmundsson, he's still there. Malinovsky, they've got Messias, they've got Ekuban, who was great last season as well. They have got a great team. And the fact that they've managed to keep Gilardino, I think it can really continue to push this team to be better than they were last season. I think Vitinha would have a bigger part to play this season, especially if they remove Retegui. Mm-hmm. Personally, I would be happier for Genoa if Retegui left and they kept Albert.
Because he's
I
gone, think Albert, Retegui's
gone.
Yeah.
But I'm happier that Retegui's gone. If they keep... I would rather they kept Gudmundsson than Retegui, because he's more of a game changer. And Retegui was injured a lot.
Absolutely.
Last season.
My idea, because I have Genoa in 11th. I might
I have Torino in 11th.
There we go.
Vanoli, how much do you believe in Vanoli?
That's it.
For
that's
Torino?
That's the question, because Vanoli, I feel like, is an interesting coach when you look at Torino's lineup and what they can do. Gilardino is obviously more proven, right? Because what he did last season was again amazing.
At the top flight.
The difference is that Torino seemed to be strengthening. And Genoa seemed to be at this point, at least, remember, we still have 2 weeks of transfers left. Genoa at this point are weakening. They've lost their starting goalkeeper in Martinez. They've lost their striker in Retegui. And they might lose Gudmundsson to Fiorentina.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that everyone is leaving didn't leave me very confident, to be honest. And when you look at, for example, Torino, who are partnering Duvan Zapata up front with Shea Adams, who literally lives to support a bigger striker, a finisher type of striker. I think that pressing on those for those second balls with Torino, I think it'll be good. Bellanova on that right side.
They can definitely.
Three at the
Torino
back system, you know. I think they're going to be. Yes,
was very defensive.
Yes.
The decision I've made was solely on manager, bro. The fact that Gilardino has that continuity at Genoa and it's a tried and tested system that simply worked and they surprised everyone with how good they were. Whereas Vanoli, I think he might have a bit of a tough time adapting, because Vanoli had a tough time getting Venezia promotion and he had to beat Cittadella.
Mm-hmm.
To beat Cittadella, he struggled so much.
Mm-hmm.
And to beat some other teams, he obviously struggled so much. To beat Cremonese, he struggled so much as well.
And I don't know if it's Cittadella, but go on. Sorry.
Who's yes, yes, Cittadella are the team that play super gegenpress and tiki taka.
Not Cittadella. It was another team.
Catanzaro. Yes. Exactly. To beat Catanzaro, he struggled so much, and then to beat you get me. He struggled a lot. He had to go through the playoffs, and it just seems like he relied a lot on certain players in order to do that, because they would have got a better squad than most teams in Serie B.
But don't Torino have a better squad than Genoa? Probably. I think they do.
Yes, they do.
Even in midfield, those guys are really good. The likes of Ricci, for example, is very nice. Mm-hmm. Good player.
Ricci, Vlasic.
Yeah.
They've got Shea Adams, they've got Bellanova, they've got Duvan Zapata. No, they've got a great team, eh? You can't say they don't. But again, solely down to managers, I think Genoa will be more settled from earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long season. I think they might just have the edge over mm-hmm. Torino. And I also, bro, I'm as surprised as I just didn't want to put Torino on 10th. Because every season I put Torino on 10th. Like, so true. It's like, fuck it, put them down in 11th because they're losing Juric.
I can't wait for the Mole Derby this season.
Hey,
it's going to be, God knows what's going to happen. Hey. Okay, so we can go to, shall we do 12, 13, 14?
12, 13, 14, wait, 12... I think we can do 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Or shall we segregate them? Okay.
Because there's a lot to talk about.
12, 13, 14.
12, 13, 14. I've got Como, Monza, Parma.
Como, Monza, Udinese.
Okay.
I really question myself with that Udinese one because I don't know why I think they'll improve from last year. I simply don't. I think it's more of a player thing than a manager thing, because they've got that new manager, Runjajc, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
It's more of a feeling rather than anything. But Como in 12th is something that we agree on. I think we can both say they're giving us Monza vibes, they're giving us Genoa vibes, as that team that is coming up and just active in the market, and a lot of influence. Signing someone like Rafa Varane, signing Pepe Reina just to gel that locker room. He's already sang La Bamba and it's gone viral it's on hilarious. Social media,
yeah.
You know. Belotti up front, a seasoned, experienced workhorse, mm-hmm. Cutrone. And just main thing, they adapt to the team in front of them over and over again, Mm-hmm. And they are like liquid, they're water. Yes. That is one thing we saw about them in Serie B.
Yes, I think they're making smart signings. I think they have an interesting project. As you said, they adapt to their opponent, which is lovely to see. Not a strict, diehard philosophy. Of course, there are consistent elements to their game, but they do adapt to their opponent, mm-hmm. which is always lovely. I think Fabregas and Ossian Rogers have a fantastic
relationship.
Roberts have a fantastic relationship.
Jeremy Rogers.
Yeah, I think they...
Shout out Jeremy Rogers.
I think they'll do well. I think 12th. This season's Monza.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where I see they're this season's Monza or Genoa.
Yes, and I think they just leapfrog Monza, who will finish in 13th, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Monza in 13th. Now, Monza in 13th. When Monza have lost Colpani, Monza's striker last year was Colombo, who isn't with them anymore. He's off to Empoli. They've managed to get their hands on Daniel Maldini, which is a great thing for them. Carlos Augusto was redeemed by Inter. He stayed with Inter. They lost Palladino and they brought in Nesta. Nesta, who was at Reggiana for the past two seasons and didn't have great success with Reggiana. Let's put it that way. Why do we have them in fucking... 14th, it is. It's 14th.
The more I think about it and the more I see it, 13th. The more I cringe, to be honest, bro. Maybe they should be lower down.
Right?
Absolutely.
And but then you look at the teams that are below them, I don't think they're going to be above them, you know?
I don't know. It's the fact as well that Monza have been recently rumored to be taken over by that Greek guy again, the owner of Leeds. And that's never a good sign.
Sorry.
Are you okay?
My water went down the wrong pipe. Malfunction.
That's hilarious. So maybe we've overshot a little bit, but it is what it is. If you could correct it, where would you put them? If you could correct it right now?
I think I might keep them there, because and then you just see the other teams, bro. I'll keep them in 13th, but I think this is a prediction I have, is that the relegation battle is always hot.
Yes.
I think this season is going to be the hottest in history. It's going to be as hot as World War II, like, bro.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The relegation battle. And I think Monza, for a long stretch of the season, are going to be battling relegation.
They lost
Di Gregorio as well.
It's true.
But they got Keylor Navas.
That's true. And they might be battling relegation. You might see Nesta as one of the first managers to be sacked. You never know.
We have a question about that.
I'll keep them there in 13th for now.
I've got Udinese in 14th. You said Parma newly bro. Promoted Parma.
Yes, newly promoted Parma spanked the living Moses out of everyone in Serie B last season.
Yes,
they kept the same manager, and I really like what a tight ship Pekka runs.
Yes, man.
I really like the players they have. They've got this guy at the back, Koulibaly. He's a fullback. He looks super. They've got Barnaby in midfield, who's very creative
Dennis Mann.
They've got these functional Bonnie up front. They've got a functional team. And I think, again, playing once a week and being managed by Pekka, who knows the team well, and again, the new kind of reinforcements that they're bringing in, I think they're on a tight ship. And I watched the game, bro. I watched the friendly a few days ago, Atalanta-Parma. Parma beat Atalanta 4-1, bro. Gasperini was losing his mind. Losing his mind. It was like, you call this football, he said at one point to the players. They looked so organized, bro. Again, it's at Koulibaly and Dennis Mann, Bonnie. It was that trident.
Yes, doing all the work. They've got a great team. Yeah. They've got a team fit for Serie A.
I think so.
That's one thing we said when watching them play last year. I definitely think so. I put Udinese. Ask me, Matt, why did you put Udinese? At a point, I had Udinese to get relegated. I swear to God, at the point I had Udinese.
You know who they're bringing back, eh, most likely?
Who?
Sanchez, bro.
Sanchez, Luca,
are you kidding me? You think I'm going to miss a game?
It might be hot. I believe in Udinese's team. I think Udinese have a solid starting 11. They have a young starting 11. I don't know shit about this manager. And I kind of like that. Why? Because last season they were bringing Gotti, bringing Cannavaro, bringing all these guys. They brought in someone that has no experience in Serie A, but they brought on someone that's different.
Yeah.
So they've clearly seen something in this guy. I'm letting the unknown take me a bit with this one. Runjajic.
Yes.
Who was he with?
He was with Legia Warsaw. Yes, but he's been with
Pagon Scheichen as well.
No one really worth mentioning. However, he has some honors to his name. He's won a bit. He's won the Polish Cup, the Polish Super Cup. Coach of the Month in 2018, October.
No, I'm not incredibly confident with this one, I'm going to be honest. But I like Udinese's team. I think they have a young team. And I think they struggled together last season. I don't see them bending over this year. I think they're definitely a dangerous team. And they're a solid team. You know, they're the team that drew the most last year. Now, they drew a lot of games which perhaps they should have won, because they struggled a little bit up front. But they drew a lot of fucking games that they should have lost.
Absolutely.
So they're not a team that's going to bend over and lose a bunch of games.
Yeah.
That might give them the edge over there.
I think so. And the team is relatively untouched as well.
Exactly.
When it comes to players leaving.
So we've got, that was 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. Okay, so we've got 15th, 16th, 17th.
Exactly, and then we'll do the relegation
team. Exactly.
So 15th, 16th, 17th. 17th, I have Lecce in 15th.
Uh-huh.
Udinese in 16th.
Uh-huh.
And Cagliari in 17th.
I see. I've got Cagliari in 15th. I've got Parma in 16th. And I've got Venezia in 17th. That's the one.
Dirty dog.
I'm not too confident about Venezia. I think they can very easily get relegated, considering their squad and the Tessman wants out. I believe Buzio is a wanted man.
Yes.
As well. So and they lost their manager Vanoli to Torino, and who have Poyan they Paolo gone and
picked
taken?
Up an injury.
Poyan Paolo picked
granted,
up an
it's
injury.
Not serious, like, but yes.
And they lost their manager in Vanoli, who they had a clear identity and system with, would have been through the ringer. Well, I'm going to use that again. Yeah. With using the ringer.
The ringer. The word of the day, guys.
The ringer. And I've got Di Francesco.
Di Francesco has
the
become...
He's the same formula. Attack, 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 like with Frosinone, and then they struggle defensively, and I so see that happening with Venezia this season.
It's rinse and repeat. Hey, it's the Di Francesco curse. He's become a relegation expert for all the wrong reasons. Like an expert in getting teams relegated.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
That's what he has come to. He had that incredible high... with Roma, one spell in the Champions League. He took Sassuolo to fucking Europe. I don't know what happened to this manager trajectory-wise. Mm-hmm. And it's the only reason those two things, his stint in the Champions League with Roma and what he did at Sassuolo, are the reasons probably he's still coaching in Serie A. Because he needs a spell in Serie B.
There are a bunch of managers need a spell in Serie B, and we'll get to that when we speak about our relegation teams, because I think by cancellation, by deduction, you know who I have. But... I said Cagliari 15th.
I put Cagliari in 17th. It's not going to be easy for them. Man. They haven't really invested, bro.
I like the Nicola signing.
It would be the first time he had a successful full season. Huh?
No, Salernitana, he had one successful season.
Full season?
Yes. After they survived through that fucking miracle with him, they kept him on for a full season, and that was the most successful.
Didn't they
that he was.
sack him, bring him back? Like,
that was the following season.
Okay. Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, let me just double check, but I'm quite sure I'm right. And you're wrong.
David and Nicola, man. Usually a very good impact manager. Matthew's just checking right now to see if he did actually complete a full season after that miracle season with Salernitana, because if I recall, he was on and off. I recall them firing him and rehiring him, and it was a whole fiasco.
So, Nicolas had end of season, and then Nicolas tenure, Salernitana obtained 18 points to make 15 manager and avoided relegation. Nicolas signed on a 2-year contract at the club. You're right.
Fuck yeah!
No, you are right. I just think he can do it. I don't think that because he hasn't done it, then he's incapable of doing it.
He's technically an up-and-coming manager. That's what people don't realize. Like, he's quite young because he's seen coming in and out of teams. He almost seems like a seasoned veteran. But in reality, you know, he's got many years ahead of him in coaching, and he could start to find success now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have them surviving as well in 17th, bro. All the signs were screaming relegation, but I was like, fuck that.
I can't have Cagliari going down. I mean, the bean, bro.
Yeah, the bean.
The bean, which... the bean.
The bean.
And then after Cagliari, I have Parma.
Who I've got them 14th. We've discussed them quite a bit.
I don't think they'll get relegated. I think they'll have quite a good season. I think as the season progresses in the second half of the season, a lot of teams, when the going gets tough, a lot of teams get better in the second half of the season. And I think whilst Parma would have had a good start to the season, that's where they might start to slow down when there are other teams that are battling relegation, but they're kind of fine. Think Empoli 2 seasons ago when they had that great start, or Udinese 2 seasons ago something similar to that.
To a certain extent. No, Lecce, of course, last season. They had an episode titled Lecce are fourth, something like that.
And then in 17th, I have Venezia. Who do you have again?
Cagliari. Yes. So I don't think Venezia survive.
It's tough, man. Simply because
of the manager they've appointed, the personnel. Yeah, I don't believe
you're probably right, but just this is what I envision, and I really wanted this to happen the initial season that they got promoted, but I believe in magic when it comes to football, and I believe that magic takes place in beautiful places where there are storylines written. Which one are you going to press?
I was going to press the crickets, but I've been building.
I believe in a Venezia miracle, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I believe in the scenes already, celebrations on a gondola. I can already see their ultras on their way to the stadium with flares lighting up and singing their songs. And I am envisioning a party in Venice. And I'm envisioning us there, bro. Us there in some kit that you might as well have bought out of a Ralph Lauren store or a Gucci store. I just believe in a Venetian miracle, man. That's all it
is. Sure, but then I really don't like the reinforcements they've brought in. So, for example, if you look, their key player that they've brought in offensively is Oristanio, who granted did bits at Cagliari last season when he went there on loan. But can Poyon Paolo translate those goals in Serie A, for example?
That's a question.
Yes. And let's remember, these guys came up through the playoffs and they typically do struggle. Like, they've brought in the likes of Altare, you know, Sagrado, right back from the Belgian league.
Duncan is a good signing.
Duncan's a good signing from Fiorentina, free transfer, that was quite nice.
I think they need some more movement,
yes.
But a lot of these players, they play together in Serie A.
Okay.
Keep that in mind.
So I've got Venezia in 19th, bro.
Oh, shit.
In 18th, I have Hellas Verona.
Mm-hmm.
And in 20th, I have Empoli.
We're very similar there. So 20th Empoli, 19th Lecce, and 18th I have Verona. And the reason for all these are very simple. I'm just going to say the words. Zanetti, Gotti, D'Aversa. That's what I'm going to say.
But Gotti is with Lecce.
Yes, I have Lecce.
I have Lecce 19th. Getting drilled. Ah, no, okay. I disagree with that. I like the way Gotti had Lecce operating last season.
In the last seven,
but it wasn't
eight games
all
of
season.
The... I know.
I like the way he kind of adapted to that situation.
Before that, how was Gotti for full seasons at teams?
Again, he's unproven. He's got the same Nicola thing, where as a full season manager, he's not exactly anything to write home about. However, I do believe in the Lecce spirit and the fact that, again, very compact team that's very difficult to beat, especially in their own stadium. I don't know. I look at Hellas Verona, for example, and I just think they're weakening much more than Lecce, for example.
I think Verona, I believe in them a bit more than Lecce because of the way they sign players and they always find these coups. And at least they flip them and they make some money. Now, where's the money going? Because the owners have gone bust and everything and they've exchanged hands onto a hedge fund or whatever. I think Verona, just to go on to that topic, are finally going to regress to a point where they go down to B and they need it. They need it a lot. And I don't think Zanetti is the right coach for them as well. I think he's another one that believes in very attacking, high-tempo football. But I think they're going to struggle a lot at the back. I think Verona finally have come to a point where they're going to get relegated. Lecce, I'm going to be completely honest, I don't totally believe in their squad. They're a team that relies a lot on loan players, and they're a team that needs saving, and I think they'll definitely be in the picture for relegation. I don't think they'll have what takes to get over the line. I don't see Gotti spending a full season as manager. I do see him getting sacked in February.
He might be one of the first ones, especially when you look at his CV. That's the way it goes, and history tends to repeat itself. But he has found an environment that suited him abnormally well. I remember him having a moment at Udinese as well, where he was doing quite well, but then it all faded out.
Not
and they
really
replaced him.
At Udinese, because Udinese were doing well under Sotil, and then they had brought him in, if I'm not mistaken, to replace him.
I don't remember the exact sequence of events, but I do remember there was a spell where a moment where he had a good spell of form, basically, is what I'm saying. Like, it could be quite similar to last season at Lecce, so you could actually be right. And the fact that he has a terrible start, gets sacked, and Lecce are suddenly lost. However, I do think that the teams I put at the bottom are in peril compared to Lecce. Like Hellas Verona, as we know, we've been saying this since we started this podcast, we started back 3-4 years ago, that they're just weakening and weakening and weakening. And I think this year might be the year. Venezia, I just don't like the reinforcements they've brought in and the manager. And then Empoli.
Let's talk about Empoli because we're very similar over here. The only difference is Lecce and Venezia, right? But we both have Empoli in last. They survived last year and they survived the year before.
It was a miracle,
the year before
to be
that.
Honest, they survived
good.
This year.
Davide Nicola.
So their manager this season is D'Aversa, who granted did really well with Parma back in the day, whatever. But he's really struggled recently to get anything done anywhere. Empoli are relying on two lone strikers to get their goals in Colombo and in Esposito,
mm-hmm.
who granted, in theory, have two young bucks who are willing to give you their all. But however, apart from that department, I really don't see many improvements
Same.
Anywhere in the team. And no, a lack of investment. It's not like their stadium is... Oh, I keep forgetting the word, like a Colosseum, like an arena. It's not like their stadium is this formidable arena, like when you go to play in Sardinia or when you go to play against Lecce.
Their kit has an ice cream on it.
Their kit has a whale as well, I think.
No, that's Cagliari. That's Cagliari. Cagliari has a whale. And they have...
It's epic, all right?
they have that tub ice cream, bro.
Yes. With the...
The smiley on the cone. The smiley. Yeah. That's weird, man.
Have you seen what Udinese have on their kit, on the sleeve?
The frog.
The Pepe frog.
The Pepe frog. That's amazing.
Oh my God, I googled Pepe and I got Simone Pepe. I forgot he was at Udinese.
Hey.
Udinese, there it is, the Pepe frog, bro. That is hilarious.
That's amazing.
Apu.com. Look it up, guys. Udinese Pepe Frog. That's what I googled, if you want to google like a boomer.
That's amazing. I think we're very similar. We're very similar. I tried to go for a few wild ones. I think, for example, Lazio in fucking ninth is quite crazy. I think that Genoa finishing above Torino is quite crazy. I think that Udinese being high up is crazy. I think Venezia not getting relegated is crazy.
He's just a crazy guy.
That's a crazy, crazy coup, bro. But again, these are going to change so much in 2 weeks' time, let alone in fucking 8 months' time when the season is over, bro. So yeah. I guess we're going to have to
Hopefully we remember to revisit this episode in a year's time.
I hope so. Yes. I hope so.
Okay. So those are our predictions. Who do you have for top scorer? I know we didn't actually prepare for this, but you know, in the last two seasons, it's always been a player from the winning team.
Uh-huh.
Do you believe in Vlahovic? Because if it's not a surprise, then the main candidates you have, okay, you've got Lautaro, you've got Vlahovic, maybe Dobrik,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
then maybe one of the Milan boys, if you believe.
So, last year, I said that the top scorer is going to be Osimhen.
Mm-hmm.
And Osimhen was the top scorer the one before that.
Mm.
I don't want to once again just repeat who the top scorer was the season uh-huh. before. That is my logic for okay. this one. I don't okay. want to be a big, big, safe doo-doo head and then I get it wrong. I'm going to go for Vlahovic because I think Vlahovic has the capacity to be on penalties for this
and
team.
And miss them.
And score them. He has the capacity to be on free kicks and score them. I think he's going to have more opportunities to score. I think if Ayn has a manager that fully believes in him and isn't going to trade him out to bring in Lukaku or at least try to do that, which would have been the shittiest fucking piece of business in history.
Honestly, let's say it how it is, bro.
So I think I'm going to say Vlahovic. I think, I don't know, I see him having a great season this year. Ronaldo's hilarious.
So first of all, he said Juve. Like, bro, you play there. You know it's not Juve, bro.
You hear Forza people Juve. Say Juve every day.
And you see the full video, like he just hops off the treadmill. Forza Juve. Like, are you alright, man?
He's a walking action figure at this point.
Literally.
Who do you have top scorer?
Lautaro, bro. I'm a big dude bullshit. Like, that's who else? Like, honestly.
Who else? Vlahovic.
I think, okay, if... I'll go the Napoli striker. Whoever Napoli get as their striker, I'll go for him. So it'll either be Osimhen, it'll be Lukaku, it'll be whatever. I say them. Okay.
Under Conte, they're going to have the top scorer.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Bet a kit on it.
No, but I think the most logical one, of course, is Lautaro. Right? There's no striker who's as comfortable.
Let's be a bit different.
Continuity.
We had top assist there last season as well. I had said Leao last season. To be honest, I don't hate the shout of Leao for this season, but I'm going to say, bro, Dobrik.
Yeah, I'm just laying it off.
I'm going to say Dobrik for top assister this season. Fuck it. What the hell? Dobrik.
That's wild. I'll go Dybala.
Both gone Roma.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
And I think he'll assist a whole lot for Dubvik, who won't be getting many, huh?
No, I think he'll get out. He had many assists.
Yes. He's quite. And again, they're going to be fluid. So you're probably right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So
and that's that. I think.
Yes. Shall we move on to the questions?
Let's go through the. We have a lot of very good questions that required me to do a lot of thinking.
So first of all, shout out to Tony Van Nicola Jr.
Oh yes, who is
a patron. I'm not sure if we shouted him out.
Yes, when we got two in one day, he was the second one.
Today earlier on. So shout out Tony, we missed you, bro.
Shit. Shout out Tony.
Yes, he asks questions that, to be honest, we've answered most of them. So what teams will be relegated? Okay, teams finish in top five. Which new coaches will have the biggest positive and negative impact? This is great. I think Conte will have the best impact on a team, I think. I think the worst impact will be Daversa.
I have Nesta for negative.
Okay, very good shot.
For positive, I've put two. Obviously, I think Conte is the obvious one. Just to give something a bit more of a feeling and a bit more like not obvious in that sense. I do have a very strong feeling that Paladino is going to do great things at Fiorentina, man. I get a really good feeling about that. And I don't think I'm going to miss a Fiorentina game next season, man. I see myself becoming quite a fan, actually, if they play the way and they got Colpani on board, man. They could be a good team. Moise Keane can finally have that season he's been waiting to have, I think. Because he's... Yeah. I remember once, bro, he came on against Milan. I was going to shit myself. He is a very technically gifted striker. He's very strong. He's very well-rounded. For such a tall striker that is great in the air, he's great with the ball at his feet as well.
That's where he excels.
He was always, for his entire career, bro, he was in a toxic environment. Let me just expand on this a bit. So he was at Juve. Obviously, that was a super, super toxic environment. He went to Everton. Everton, who keep on being docked points after points after points for a lack of financial fair play. And if the same season they had Ancelotti and James Rodriguez, it was the biggest fever dream, I think, in Premier League history, bar Leicester winning the league, I think. And just overall, it was a very unsettled period for Everton. And at PSG as well. PSG winger. He's never been at a team that has got their shit together. And I think Paladino can really be that guy to help take young Moise Keane over the line to be a very good striker in Serie A.
It could be, yes. Absolutely. I do have a good feeling about Fiorentina, as discussed earlier. He also asks, who will be this year's breakout star?
Now, I wondered what he meant by that. Does it have to be a new player coming into the league, or could it be someone like Chukwueze?
Yes, I would say Chukwueze.
So you'd say Chukwueze.
I would also say that, granted, it's not really a breakout star, breakout season for us because we know him, but the world doesn't really know him. It's Dennis Mann. You know, Dennis Mann,
that's a good one,
proved
bro.
Himself at the Euros as well, and he was even doing it in Serie A two seasons
Barnaby
ago.
Barnaby is a nice one,
huh? But I think if anyone from Parma had to like have that next step, you know, take it up, it would be Dennis Mann himself. Dennis the Menace, as we call him over here.
Let me name a couple of guys,
please,
that I think are going to be great this season. So I think, do not sleep on the season that Chukwueze might have at Milan, because he has a coach that fully believes in him and he's looked good. So I think he's up there in the debate. I also have Dubvik, because I do think that, bar the fact that he was one of the top scorers in La Liga,
La Liga last season
for Girona, who had a great, great fucking campaign. They've got Champions League and everything. They were first for a fucking long time. Same owners as City. I've got Shea Adams as well. I think he can be a very effective player for Torino. And I've also got Colpani. Because I think, again, just Colpani playing for a team that strives for Europe rather than Monza, who are just like pushing out of the relegation battle, looking at 10th, so on and so forth. I think he's got his wings now, Colpani, and I think he gone fly.
Fair enough. Yes, I also have a good feeling about Castellanos. Huh? I think he might have a good season.
Interesting.
So those, I think. Let's move on to the next question. It's not really a question, it's a statement. Tim Warner, our patron and friend, says Retegui golden boot.
Oh my god.
Flames. And I said, let's go. Why not? He's at Atalanta now. He can yes. genuinely be capo cannoniere. Like, he can finish top scorer, for all we know.
He can.
Because Scamacca's out. It's going to be between him and El Bilal. And El Bilal is so injury prone. You know, he picked up a knock as well slightly after Scamacca did, yes. So, and it's not. We're acting like Retegui isn't injury prone over here.
That's true. Yes. It's true.
But yeah, Retegui, golden boot, let's
Come
go.
Come on, Atalanta.
Simon Rem says, hot take for the season. Juve do not come into the top six.
Oof.
Disagree. Yes. Shea Adams scores more goals than Zapata. Disagree.
I hate to disagree with you again, bro.
I think Adams was brought in to feed Zapata.
Feed the bull.
Yeah. I think, but interesting. If this comes true, bro, fucking well done.
Mm-hmm.
Shea and Zapata shoot Toro into the top seven. Difficult again, bro. He's a Torino fan, by the way.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Sure, bro.
Sure. You don't think so? You don't think they have a chance for
Champions
top
League?
Seven,
Champions League.
Bologna reached the quarter final of the Champions League, but don't finish in the top seven of the league, which would be very Italiano.
I don't fucking hate that shout at all,
bro. Probably the one I agree with most.
I don't fucking hate that at all.
Yes, that would be so Italiano.
So Italiano. Yeah.
Lazio finish in the top five. Also, possibly we're sleeping on our boy Baroni. We're sleeping on all these noobs that they've signed.
They won't make top five. They won't.
They might. Dobvik becomes top scorer in Serie A. Possible.
Yes.
Empoli finally relegated. Absolutely
yes,
agree.
For sure.
Udinese's Pizarro becomes the shooting star of the season.
Ooh. Very they nice signed shot. Him from South America somewhere. Colo something.
Colo, yes. In Chile.
In Chile. Colo in
yes.
Chile.
That would be nice. But I spoke to a Chilean, quite frankly, who works with us. And he said, the boy has talent, but is nothing crazy special, you know? And if a fan of the Chilean league. But you can't tell. Anyway, he might come to Italy and explode.
Where is this gentleman? Is he still at Udinese? Is Pafundi going to get any time?
Pafundi
season?
Was out on loan. I think they might have had an option.
I don't think so, bro. I don't think they would have had an option. He was on loan with Lausanne Sport. I'm quite sure he'd be back at...
Buyout. They had an option to buy. Reported at 15 million.
Pafundi?
Yeah.
Am I thinking of the right
Pafundi
guy?
Pafundi is
a young buck. Yes. A great...
Yes.
Why the hell?
Because they're stupid, bro. I don't know why the hell they would let him leave. I watched them in the Coppa Italia with Udinese at 17. He was pulling all the strings. Everyone was giving him the ball and just waiting for him to work his straight. Yes. By the way, nowadays, the new hot shit is Liberale of Milan. Incredible, bro.
And the keeper, bro. I followed them all on Instagram today, man.
The keeper looks so chill, bro.
The chillest.
So chill for someone with all that pressure.
Mm.
He also has another take. He says, Fabregas does not survive the season as coach of Como.
I disagree. I think Fabregas is going to be one of these next-gen managers. I think we saw a lot of maturity in the way he operates, in how he sets up for the team that is ahead of him. And I think he's making smart signings as well, together with Como. And quite frankly, I think it's very hard for him not to spend the whole season there when he's a shareholder, I believe. So I think it would be tough for that prediction to actually take place.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to find the message because I cropped out the last part. He's got the hottest take and it's cropped. Here it is. And finally, the hottest take. I will visit games in Parma, Verona, Torino, Genoa and Milan. Oh, that's amazing. Very good. Enjoy, bro. Cool. Send us lots of footage.
Yes, please.
And we will definitely repost.
Vlog it, bro. Vlog all of it. Vlog all of it and send it over.
He's got Torino kits. Look how nice they are.
Look at that.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Grande Toro.
Grande Torre. What do you lads think about the whole Chiesa situation? Is a question from Gatti Lover 25 on Twitter.
Did you know that Gatti was a bricklayer, bro? A couple of years ago. That's a crazy story.
Crazy, because you know that Messias was a delivery man.
What?
Of course. Funnily enough, you know, Noslin came up through the amateur leagues.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Quite, that's why he's so humble, probably, and sweet.
True.
What do you lads think about the whole Chiesa situation? So for me, I'm surprised by the way Motta's handling it. He must have been really disappointed by what he saw in training, because he seems to be pushing him out, and Chiesa, the caliber of a player, the reputation he has, is a player that you'd at least want to give a try to. But it just goes to show how far the mighty have fallen. And no one wants him. Mm. And it's come to a point now where people are, in exchange deals, are asking for money as well, along with Chiesa, to swap for players. So, yeah.
Because he's on a high salary, and he's super injury prone.
Yeah.
That's why Allegri was treating him like glass last season, because unfortunately, I don't think the guy has a full season in him performing at the highest level. So, if, for example, I saw that his agent is offering him to Milan, and he's insisting that Milan get him.
Uh-huh.
But at this point, I'm looking at Milan having Pulisic, Chukwueze, and Leao, that I would pick over Chiesa, which is crazy. I wouldn't have said that 3 seasons ago, 4 seasons ago, where he did what he did at the Euros 4 seasons ago.
Yeah.
I think it's unfortunate. I think it's really sad for Chiesa. I think with his play style and his injuries, I think it's a match made in fucking hell, man. It's sad, but yeah. I don't know. What's his level now, Chiesa, you think? What team would he start at and be the star at? It's tough to say with his injuries, man. It's not looking good,
bruv. I think Lazio, Bologna, maybe not really though. It's difficult because you don't know what you're going to get, exactly.
He's world class, when he's fully
needs
fit.
A redemption season. There were whispers of a Frattesi and Chiesa swap deal between Juve and Inter. And if that
doesn't
happens,
even fit the system at Inter.
We'll see. Maybe he'll come on as an impact sub, because if Chiesa's going to give you one thing, it's 110% every game.
You know what, bro?
It's not enough.
He might just leave Europe.
I don't think he'll leave Europe, though. I think he'll have a shot elsewhere. Because he's still young, you know. Well, young. He's not old, let's just say
that.
He's
like 27, nowadays? Uh-huh.
But I think it's too early for him to leave Europe. I think he'll try to redeem himself. If no one wants him, he might have to. Or he might have to accept a salary cut, like many have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Forza Chiesa. I hope he lands a good deal.
Exactly. I hope so too. And it's so sad seeing him praise Juve and them just trying to kick him out of the door. Yes. Viola Papi on Instagram. Roma finish ahead of Milan. Bologna qualify for Europe again. And Lazio possibly don't qualify for Europe. Those are his hot takes. So Roma finish ahead of Milan. We both disagree.
But it could very much be.
I wouldn't put it past them. So I totally think your take is possible. Bologna qualify for Europe again. Definitely not Champions League though again.
Not Champions League again for sure. I see if there's a similar situation where the Italian team gets one more spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could end up in Europa or in the conference. They make Europe again, Bologna. I feel they'll make Europe again. And I think they'll finish ahead of Lazio, as I said earlier.
Mm.
But I don't think they'll make Champions League. I know they're not going to make Champions League, actually.
Maybe conference. Maybe at most Europa.
At most Europa.
Yes. And the whole Lazio don't qualify for Europe thing. I personally... where did I have them? Wait a second. I had them in eighth. Uh-huh. So it depends. It's possible that they do with the coefficient.
Mm-hmm.
It'll depend on the coefficient, though.
Exactly.
Because without it, as it stands, I agree with you. With it, I disagree with you.
I can't see Lazio making any element of Europe.
Yeah.
But the coefficient can help.
Yeah, good. Football Leon asks, what are some teams that are in the process of an inevitable drop to Serie B in the next couple of seasons? Hellas Verona and Empoli.
Yeah, I have Empoli here. Empoli being the main one. I didn't see Empoli do anything to strengthen their team significantly. Bringing in Colombo on a loan deal is short-sighted, and quite frankly, he didn't start at Monza last season. Juric started ahead of him. I don't like the fact that they brought in Daversa. They might as well have tried something totally new, the same way Udinese did, bring in a bit of an unknown name, take a punt at someone. I think Udinese are an inevitable drop, and I think it's been brewing for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely looking dire for them. I think there are quite a few teams, unfortunately, in the process of an inevitable drop, just as I think there are a few teams in Serie B who are on course for an inevitable rise, like Palermo, for example.
I think Palermo,
Sassuolo will definitely be back because they're so rich compared to the other teams. Unfortunately, trajectory-wise, you just have to look at the finances and what they do with them. Because, for example, okay, Atalanta aren't a rich team, but they became a rich team through smart business. Cagliari, for example, are a team that survived through really bringing in loan players and just scraping it, and that's not sustainable. So within the next five seasons,
it's the Grinta, bro, that got them surviving.
Yes,
if the Grinta Cagliari, and the Tinker, man.
That'll very much depend. Cagliari look to be going down. Lecce, one day maybe they won't be able to keep up anymore, signing all these players for 1 million max. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it'll all depend on the project. So maybe they can turn it around.
It's a long season as well.
George Zammit on Twitter says,
"Is that George or Georg?" I think it might be Georg.
Oh, that is Georg.
Let's call him G.
G is a meat. Surprise team of the season can be both positive or negative. Surprise team of the season for me is Parma.
I think
they'll come up and they'll impress. But people are kind of expecting it from Como, aren't they? With all the signings they've made.
I don't think they're expecting them to come 12th. Let's put it that way.
Surprisingly negative.
Okay, let me change that. Surprisingly positive. Let me say Fiorentina.
Okay.
Just because I believe they'll qualify for Europe, either Nature Conference League or Europa. I think they're going to be a lot better than they were under Italiano. So let me say that for that Como count as well, I believe.
I wouldn't be surprised if Lazio surprised everyone as well.
I'd say Lazio for the negative. I'd say Lazio for the negative. I'd also say negative Monza. I really think Monza are going to regress.
Yes. I totally agree with that. And if I had to take a punt from the top teams, for someone to have like a disastrous season from, let's say, the top six, I think the most likely would be Juve, because they've had the most changes. Simply. You know?
Interesting.
Could be. If I had to pick one. What do you think, guys? Let us know. Another question comes from, is that GIG? Gig on Instagram. He says, Venezia, Como and Parma all stay up. Totally possible. I think Venezia might kill that trend, right?
Yeah, I agree with you in my predictions. I'm not going to lie, I did see a comment during the predictions that had a bit to
yes,
you
influence you.
Just a little bit. possible. This is the most possible out of most recent seasons, I believe. This season. Yeah. I like the quality that's
coming. I do think it's more likely than in previous seasons, because the teams coming up will have good projects, good owners, you know.
Yeah.
Frank on Twitter asks, what is your number one absolute guarantee prediction for the Serie A season in Serie A?
Lazio to fall out of top seven is mine.
Yes, that's your guarantee?
That's my guarantee.
My guarantee is Napoli top four.
That's a good one.
It can be a team, a player, a manager, anything, one thing you think will definitely happen. Okay, a manager, I think Nesta will get sacked.
We'll have a question on that later. What was the second part of the question? I didn't see that part.
He said it can be a team, a player, a manager, anything. Like a guarantee
Exactly. I'm going to stick with mine of Lazio are going to fall out of the top seven.
Okay.
Yes. I don't hate Lazio. I feel like I've been... I just have low expectations of them.
We're lovers of all teams.
Lovers.
Ben on Twitter on X. I keep saying Twitter.
It's Twitter, bro.
Do you think Hellas are in a better position this season worse compared to last? Now, Ben is a Hellas Verona fan.
Ah, sorry, Ben.
I'm really sorry, Ben, but it's looking dire. Huh?
But the thing is, they move smart. They're scouting. Their scouting can help. Like this bull that they brought in, the Colombian forward from the Colombian league. You see him play; he's not even playing on grass. Yeah. Like his touch is—it's like it goes to the corner flag, but then he shoots it in. The keeper dives the wrong way.
They're like, we probably shouldn't sign him because he's not even playing on grass. But
we're gonna do it anyway. We're gonna do it anyway. It's like when you start a career mode with a player who's rated 63, but you're playing on amateur. So the touch is horrendous. Yeah. The shot is awful, but it hits the back of the net anyway.
Exactly, trying to use any Maltese player on FIFA.
But they brought, apart from Teddy Teuma, shout out Ted Teum.
Ted Teum.
Shout out Teddy Teuma. But they're the ones that brought in Nusslin. They're the ones that brought in the exact same conversation as us.
Yes,
who's
yes,
the guy?
Yes,
who's
yes.
the guy that went to Chauna. Napoli? No, the guy that went to Napoli.
Buongiorno, you're talking
no,
about?
No, no, no. And he's not part of their plans. He moved halfway through the
season. Ngonge.
They sign all these players. So they could surprise
they
us
could,
again.
They often find a coup, regression, but then they just sell so easily. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Alessio on X asks, Roma's Mercato has made them look like a serious title challenger, and Empoli's Italian youth will save them from relegation. So if anyone's going to save Empoli, it's going to be Italian youth, but I don't think they will be saved from relegation. Perhaps you will prove us wrong, because Matt and I both had them in dead last.
Mm-hmm.
Roma's Mercato has made them look like serious title challengers. I think they might challenge for a while, but I think it's too early for them to win a title, for De Rossi to win a title. I think it's a bit too early.
So. I think it's too early for Roma as well. I think they made good signings, but I still think that, for example, Dubovic needs to settle a little bit into the league, and I think that Sule needs to settle into a bigger club,
exactly,
for
and
example.
Get used to actually not being the star man for his team, because
exactly.
That's what he's grown used to.
And De Rossi is still a manager that needs to settle into, it's his first full season at Roma. I don't think they'll be title contenders. I think the Italian youth might be the death of Empoli,
if I'm being honest, because
I think they're... Lack of maybe Italian experience is what can get them relegated.
And I wonder what the plan is with Colombo and Esposito. Are they planning to play two up top? Or are they planning to have them on rotation? Like, what the hell?
They're going to do the same thing with them that they did with Caputo and...
Destro.
And Destro.
We just not play them. And every time they play them, we go... Ara, look who it is.
He's playing.
Look at that, it's Destro. Who 2 seasons ago scored without a shoe. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember
crazy
that.
Crazy scenes. But yeah, that's it, bro. Those are all our questions.
Are you sure?
Yes,
the price
sir.
Of the season? No, there's best Mercato.
Who was that?
First manager sacked. You sent me the screenshots and I had them.
Best Mercato. Where?
There's one there. Wait, no. Those no. You said them.
Yeah, okay, let's just discuss it. Best Mercato. Who's had the best Mercato? Who's had the best Mercato in your opinion, bro?
I think Juventus.
It's another question from Georg, actually. I've just seen it.
I think Juve, not for instant success, but for a project. And it's not only the players that they're bringing in or the players that they've brought in, but rather the players that they're removing. I think it is huge that they have... what's his name? The guy that looks after Juve's transfers.
Giuntoli. Yes.
I think Giuntoli and Motta have a very clear vision for this team. They're finally cutting out the garbage and cutting out the big wages by Szczesny, by Rabiot, by De Sciglio. I hate that I put those all under the same bracket, but you get me. And they're bringing in, they're going to use some of their young talent, and they're bringing in good, smart, technically gifted players. So I think over the long term, Juve, for instant success,
Napoli.
Napoli.
Yes.
The Buongiorno signing was very good. I think Spinazzola for depth.
They've just brought in the players that need that Conte needs for exactly. his system. And they knew exactly what to go for.
And I think Roma as well obviously have had a super yes. Mercato.
Yes. And Como, of course, have had a fantastic market as well. Not to mention Milan as well, having a very good market when it comes to the sustainability factor of it. Milan only go for bargains.
Mm-hmm.
They don't buy players that are overvalued anymore. Mm-hmm. Ever. If you look at Milan's top 10 highest purchases, most expensive signings, you'll see that they were all flops, in the fact, which is hilarious. Like, yeah, with Andre Silva there, Bonucci, Caldara, they're all there. Now, when it comes to, for example, Morata, that's smart business, man.
Mm-hmm.
Smart business. You look at Emerson Royal, granted, everyone memeing about how shit he is.
Fuck Emerson.
13 million doesn't get you anything nowadays.
It's true.
15 million, whatever they're going to pay.
Gets you Emerson Royal. Yeah. Which is a big problem.
But he's selected, handpicked by the coach, and they're giving him, you know, the tools he wants or needs to succeed. Pavlovic for 25 million, another coup. They're not budging for the Fofana deal, and Fofana really wants to come. They're staying. They're like, listen, if we're going to get him, it's going to be for this amount. Fuck your 35 million, you know? So I think Milan have had a smart market. Not the best one, but one of the smartest ones.
Uh-huh.
First manager to be sacked.
I have Nesta. Because I think Monza aren't going to be where they want to be for the first half of the season.
And he's the easiest one to sack. It's easier than sacking like a Di Francesco.
Because they've had success. The relegation teams, if it's Parma that are struggling... Maybe they stick by Pecchia because he knows the team best. If it's Verona, Empoli, Lecce that are struggling, I'd be like, you know what, wouldn't expect anything much better than that. So let's show a bit more faith. Maybe it would be more effective than just bringing in a new guy. But Monza, because they've had success, if Nesta doesn't show that he's going to do what Palladino did in the opening 10 games of the season, then that's a problem.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. That's a good answer, bro. I agree with you completely.
Top.
My hot take, so these are Georg's hot takes. Lazio to finish below the top 10 this season. Matthew agrees with you there. Or did you put them exactly in 10th?
I put them 9th.
9th, okay. Outside the top 10 is harsh. I tend to disagree with you there, but we'll see. Georg, it is a hot take for a reason. Prediction, Inter to win the league again, agree.
Mm-hmm.
Hot take, Roma, Napoli, their main challengers. Very possible, agree with you on Napoli.
Yes.
Roma look like they mean business, so it's hard to argue with you over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
A lot of people sleeping on Milan. A lot of people sleeping on Milan. We'll see what Milan can do as well. I didn't see Milan mentioned it's much in our questions and hot takes, but
anyway. I have a question for you, bro, before we end this. Who is going to get promoted from Serie B next season?
So, I have two already. Just give me a second. Okay. I have my answer.
Please.
I'm gonna go Cremonese.
Okay.
Sassuolo.
Okay.
Palermo.
I have Cremonese, Sassuolo, Sampdoria.
Oof, Pirlo.
Pirlo. Well, yes.
Maybe. It's funny, huh? We can't sleep on Frosinone.
Sassuolo are by far the richest team in Serie B. Their finances absolutely destroy everyone around them. So, with a bit of investment, it'll be quite
any news on Berardi, bro?
Berardi, bro, is going to shock everyone, I think, in the latter stage of the market, because he's just been silently existing while no one's talking about him. He's got to go somewhere, and he's
Madonna.
He can go pretty much anywhere. That's the thing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But anyway, I think that's that for this episode. Thank you very much for listening, guys. This is a prediction episode, so do feel free, obviously, to share where you think we fucked up and where you think we're bang on, who you've agreed with most, and send us your predictions as well. Let's see what you guys are thinking. Maybe one of you has Milan to win the fucking league.
Show us to some give us love some hope. On YouTube.
Yes, YouTube. I mean, you guys know what to do. If you appreciate our content, just show us some love. And if you have any rich friends, please do let them know that our Patreon is open and that we're looking for sponsors. But thank you very much for listening. We will see you next week for our match day one preview. Very, very exciting stuff. I can't believe it, bro. Amazing. So Friday, which by the time you're listening is going to be tomorrow, probably.
It's might be next year.
I'm going to Sicily for my friend's bachelor's. I get back and we're off for the week of Ferragosto or Santa Maria in Malta. But I work on Friday, which is really weird. Might pull a sickie. And then the Saturday Serie A starts, bro. I'm so fucking gassed.
Absolutely incredible scenes, bro.
And then you have a bachelor's on Thursday. So
yes, before we go, I'm just gonna demonstrate a few sounds that we've added to our soundboard. Or should I leave them as a surprise?
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
FBI, open up!
So that's when a take is ridiculous.
When I keep saying Castillejo has a huge dick, for example.
FBI, open up!
Very good. Lukaku missed another good chance. Falcone had a fantastic game. Dumfries punches Theo in the face. I don't know. What would you say for this one?
Torino.
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
Yes. This is the best one.
That's when we do something we really shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, we praised Luca in the last four episodes, and you've told us that we're tired and we should stop doing it, but...
Is that a guy doing karaoke?
Yes, I think so. I don't know if he's doing karaoke or actually performing, but it kills, bro. It's hilarious.
Damn it, guys, coach is right!
Anytime we mention Pulisic, easy,
damn
man.
Damn it, guys, coach is right!
Anyways,
thank you very much, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. We'll see you all next week.
This is Serie A Spotlight.
If you like Serie A or have ever liked it in the past, it's a good opportunity for you to listen once a week and you'll get filled in.
In the football weekend, that's like the main dish. But then a few days later, you drop your episode and that's like the dessert. And the dessert is just perfect.
It's good, the cake.
It makes it feel like we're all sitting in a room together, just BSing with each other.
The atmosphere is fantastic.
I promise nobody will ask you to send boob pics.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
I love how you go into so much detail and show so much passion towards each and every team. Literally, no team is left undiscussed.
When I listen to you, it's like I'm talking to you in a pub. It's like I'm chatting to a friend and you're chatting to me.